The book of Haggai. Three books left. Let's finish Haggai today. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet. And this word went to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judea, or Judah, and to Yeshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest. And here's what it said. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you to dwell in your paneled houses, and yet this house should lie waste? Now therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. The prophet Haggai is delivering a word of God at a certain time in a certain place to a certain people for a certain purpose. Religion is not related just to heaven, it's also related to earth. And you will notice that no prophet just suddenly gets a word and then delivers it. Always get a word, always delivered on a certain day to the rulers of this world. It's not related to religion, it's related to politics, it's related to the economic situation, it's related to a festival, it's related to something important world, because it is not just the Lord of the church, he is the Lord of this world. So when the prophet speaks, he has a word that comes precisely in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, for a reason. Now, Darius is a Persian. So the Persians are the fourth great kingdom in the earth. There's only six. It's the fourth great kingdom, about the year 500 BC, Jesus. So about history. Just about the time when history starts to be the last days. So at this very hour, the temple has to be rebuilt. It was destroyed by the Babylonians about years earlier. So about 80-some years earlier, a little more in fact, the house of God fell down flat. Religion was almost out of business. And so God was concerned that his house, his church, his people were taking care of their own houses, but they weren't taking care of the house of God. How many know that the Bible says, seek ye first your own paneled houses? And if there's anything left over, then give a token to God, because he's a nice guy. You know, that's not really God's program. God says, seek first the kingdom of God. First take care of his church, and then you take care of your own stuff. Ah, no, God, you've got it all wrong. It's first, you know, we got to take care of the IRS. We got to take care of food, clothing, eating out a little bit. You know, you got to have a little life. And then if there's anything left over, believe me, we will share with you. How many know that that's not what God was saying? I don't know why God has this crazy idea that he's preeminent, that he should be first. That's just the idea he has. And because he's God, to kind of, you know, say it. But of course, because we're man, we refute it. We'll first get our own houses in order. Hey, let's put our paneling up. Let's make sure we've got our stuff. And then, you know, no problem, God, if there's anything left over. I hope there is. I mean, that's up to you, kind of, if you want to bless us some more. And then we'll always have something left over for you. You get the leftovers. I know that leftovers are good. So God was telling the prophet, now tell the people that I'm trying to get a message to them, and I'm going to speak to two people, Zerubbabel, who's a governor. That's a political person. And then the other guy, Joshua, Jesus, he's the high priest. That's a religious person. Now, those are the two people to talk to. So God starts speaking to his own people, Zerubbabel and Joshua. Those are the two main guys. And so God is always speaking to church and state. That's kind of like on God's agenda. God's into that. That's kind of a favorite deal with God. Now, Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah. But because the Persians were in charge, that governor was really a kind of like a sub-governor. There was another governor over him, which was the Persian governor, and he was kind of over the... It's kind of like letting the Israel people, the Jewish people, could rule themselves, but underneath the superpower. So the Persians, they had the overlordship. They were kind of the big deal of the day. Now, you all know that the first great empire is Egypt. That was Abraham. Egypt was around. Then there was, you know, Isaac and Jacob and Moses and, you know, Joseph, all those guys. So that's the first great kingdom. Now, the second great kingdom is Assyria. So those are the two big guys. And then we've been seeing Daniel talking now after those two guys are over and saying, okay, I'll replace those two guys. Now I got four more kingdoms coming. And the big kingdom that Daniel was raised up in was Babylon. So Babylon is, that was the big golden, remember that was the golden head. So Babylon is the third kingdom, and Babylon has just been overthrown. Babylon has just been overthrown. And you remember that Jeremiah said Babylon would reign for 70 years. So Daniel lived during this time. He was about 12 years old or something when they took him off. And then he lived a long time because he lived all the way into the next kingdom. And we know exactly how long this one lasted, 68 years. So Babylon lasted 68 years plus 12 and all that stuff. And then he's still alive. So this guy's living to a ripe old age. And so he's into this next kingdom, which is Persia. Now, the first king of Persia, his name is Cyrus. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar was the first king of Babylon, and the last king of Babylon was Nabonidus. Now, Nabonidus was a weird guy. He was kind of like not into religion in the normal sense of lifting up the Babylonian god. Now, does anybody know the Babylonian god? Who was the chief god of the Babylonians? Marduk. Yeah, which is the same as Baal, which is the same as Nimrod. No, they're just worshiping their ancestors. Is anybody here worshiping your ancestors? Yes, you are. You just don't know it. Okay. But anyway, ancestor worship is a big deal. As soon as people die, they attain a certain, you know, aura that they didn't have when they were alive. But anyway, they worship their ancestors. And so Nimrod is just Marduk. In fact, it's spelled the same way. M-R-D means Merid, Nimrod, Merid at the end. It just means rebel. So Marduk means rebel. It's just another way of saying rebel. And the first part of his name is Nimr, N-M-R. That means leopard. So he was the rebellious leopard. So Nimrod is rebelling because he had no fear of God. He is just like a guy who said, you know, what do I care about God? I'll just make up my own God. In fact, I'll be God. That's cool. Has anybody ever done that? It's an idea. It's just an idea I'm throwing out. That, you know, if you don't like the way God's running things, take over. Take over yourself. Has anybody ever tried that? because sometimes God doesn't come through. So this leopard king guy, he's smart. He just said, you know, I'm not against God. I just don't like him being first. I mean, I'm okay with him being down below. I just don't want him to be above. I just don't want God dominating every aspect of my life. How many have discovered that that can be a problem? Because he's a hog. God actually wants, I mean, everything. I mean, he just doesn't want you to have a life of your own. It's kind of like he wants all the worship. He wants you to love all your neighbors. He wants you to testify to people and make sacrifices on their behalf and care about them and so on. It just ruins your life. I mean, it just simply dominates you and tells you what your values are. And I got my own ideas. I got ideas of my own. And especially when God doesn't come through for me, and he doesn't seem to, you know, he says he loves me, but sometimes I've asked him to do things and he doesn't do them. Has anybody noticed that about God? I mean, does he really care about my happiness like I do? I think not. I think there are times when I got to take care of myself first, panel my own house, because he might not. I might end up in a doghouse or something, and, you know, God's house will be nice. I think I'll take care of my own house first. That's the American way. Amen? The American dream is not building God a nice place. It's getting our own place first. Amen? So God has this problem that people don't fear him. I'm going to just tell you something. This is personal. I fear God. I just fear God. I'm not scared of him. It's not that kind of scared fear. It's like, I think he's telling the truth. That kind of thing is, if he says something, I think that's the way it's going to be. If he says he created the world in 7 literal days, that's the way I believe it. So I don't believe all the scholars and the smart people and all the big shots out there that are correcting him all the time and telling him he doesn't know his science or he doesn't know how to, you know, use language or whatever. I think if God says it, that's the way it is. And I think just a simple nincompoop like you and me, we can read the Bible and it says 7 days, it means 7 days. And all the smart guys, they got answers for everything because they don't like God's program. And so if we can correct the guy a little bit and put him under our brains, under our understanding, then God doesn't have quite the advantage over us. So, but I fear him. If he says, you know, Peggy is the best, that's the way it's going to be then. She's the best. You know, it doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter how I feel about it. It doesn't matter what I think. God, have you seen her? Do you see what she just did? Wouldn't this be a good time to smack her? You know, and God goes, no, this would be a good time to love her and forgive her and so on. Man, God, are you paying attention? I mean, down here from my point of view. And God's going, Jim, look, here's the deal, Jim. You just treat her the way, she's a gift of God. She is a gift of God. Will you treat her the way I would treat her? Well, how's that? Okay, don't even tell me. I have an idea. I just have an idea. You're not seeing it from my point of view. I'm trying to make clear here. She needs a smack. That would help. How many know God doesn't go along with that program? You bless her. She doesn't deserve it. She doesn't deserve it. She needs a good, you know, she needs to be put in her place. She's trying to control me, God. I told her, you know, I was only under you. And she said, that was a lie. And she's got a point there. So, see, it's kind of hard for me to get this thing because I'm not as good as I thought I was supposed to be good son. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I'd like to change God because he plays rough. He wants truth. Truth. Truth will set you free. So anyway, God doesn't go along with any of my... I can't even help him out. I try to discuss stuff with God and explain the way things really are. He's just totally impatient with me. Totally just quiet. Jim, you don't know anything. This is your beloved. So anyway, we have a difference of opinion on that. But God prevails. I mean, so I fear him. It's like, well, if he says it, then that's the way it is. I better forget my own agenda. I better not press my ideas. So God doesn't want you to think. He doesn't want you to feel. He doesn't want you to want. He wants you to want what he wants, feel what he feels, and think what he thinks. I mean, he just kind of wrecks everything. There's not even a point of being alive. And God is into, in fact, God's into that too. Yeah. I want you to die so I can live through you and just, you know, do as I wish. And I want you to go along with it, and I want you to be happy about it too. Oh, man. I mean, I could grit my teeth maybe. But do I have to really, 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 really like it? Yes. And wipe that smirk off your face, right? You know, it says it's like, God just doesn't put up with anything. He wants his way. Does anybody fear him? If he says the Jewish people are going to be restored, that's the way it is then. If he says he likes the Jewish people, I mean, what do you know, God? You know, have you paid attention lately? The Jewish people are stubborn. They're stubborn people. Stiff-necked. They're just tough to live with. So I like them. Okay, but do I have to? Yes. Man. So God, the way he sets it up, he always wants the Jewish people to be, you know, honored. I don't think they're honorable. No, I think they're getting what they deserve. Amen? If I was a Muslim, you know, I would think, let's push them in the sea. So that's kind of the attitude. Do you all have an attitude like that? There are certain people you just need to be pushed into the sea. That, I don't know why, that just appeals to me. That's just a natural feeling, is there are certain people I don't want around. You know, funeral directors. They charge way too much, you know. It's kind of like a monopoly on that thing, you know. Can't I just throw her out in the backyard and bury her? You know, it says like they got... Then mechanics. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people. Lawyers. I mean, you know, politicians. I mean, just about everybody, as a matter of fact. You know, it's just really hard for me to get along in this world because I have my own ideas. And if I were God with all his power and all his everything, I would do things differently. But God just doesn't have me part of his kitchen cabinet. He's not really asking my opinion. Anybody here, I have a feeling there's one or two others in this church that are like me, constantly trying to check him and help him out. Give him a little advice on how to do it. And I feel he just not listening. Does anybody else feel a little impatient like that toward God, like me? Scott? Yes, Russell? And anybody else? Debbie? Yes. Yes. I'm going to try to name your names if I can. And there's just a tendency in all of us is not to like the way God sets it up. There are certain people I would just kill. I'll just wipe them out. I just don't feel that they even have a right to breathe. Why are you sharing space with me? You know? You know what I'm saying? You know, just... So all of us have this idea that we're smarter than God, and God wants us to fear him. When he says something, that's the way it is. So he sets up your personal life, your family life, your church life, your economic life, your political life, your social life. He just sets it all up where he wants the last word and the first word and all the middle words. And you just don't have a place there to squeeze in. And that's what pleases God. Now, I'll give you another one. When there's a problem in your life, has anybody ever had a problem? When there's a problem, when things just aren't going right, which is pretty much the case under God's rule here. There's trouble in this world. Even God goes along with that. He says in the world you have trouble. But the tricky part is he wants you to be of good cheer. That's what's awful, is when you're going through trouble, instead of moaning and griping and complaining, he wants you to praise him, thank him, have a good time. When you're in the fire and it's burning your flesh and you can just feel it's hurting, he says, wouldn't this be a good time to have a little worship? And I was thinking of something else. Couldn't you get me out of this right now? Could you not for once in your life do what I've asked? This is hell. And it would be good on your part. You'd get some more customers, I'm telling you, if you just simply start behaving yourself. And so you call on God right early, like he says, and he doesn't answer right early, like he says. You call on him right early. God, get me out of this mess. And he just doesn't do it. It's like he's deaf. It's like the cell phone suddenly goes dead. God, is that you? Can you hear me? I said, help! Did you hear that? God! You know, have you ever noticed that? God never answers right early? And they said that. So we get mad, we get angry, and God is speaking to the religious people and the political people, and he's saying, now here's the deal. You're taking care of your own houses. I want you to put my house first. Oh, man. It's like, God, that's a bad program. I mean, why would we do that? What about us? What's going to happen to us? How many wonder if you really took care of God first? If you really took care of God first, would there be anything left for you? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I really took care of God first, then what would be left for me? Because when I take care of myself first, there's very little left for God. So if I took care, you know, so I mean, you just can't do both. How many know that God, if he wanted to, he would have blessed me so much that I'd have plenty for both of us? But he's stingy. How many know that God's stingy? As a matter of fact, I have gone to church, and what did I get for it? Once I fasted, and all I got was hungry. I read the Bible, it's confusing, and the begats bothered me. I couldn't get them. I couldn't even pronounce Nebuchadnezzar. And so, you know, a lot of times God just isn't paying attention, but his whole point is to love this world. His whole point is to bless us and help us. But those are words. When it comes right down to reality, he's got a lot to be desired. I tried to help him, he won't take my help. Now, what God's saying is, Jim, shut up. Just shut up and stop thinking. Well, I can't. My mind just click. It just clicks. I'm thinking all the time. I may not blurt it all out like I am this morning. I may not blurt it all out, but I'm thinking and feeling stuff all the time. Is God, I just feel, if you'd cooperate, if the two of us could get together on some of these things, it'd go a lot better. And God's kind of a one-sided guy. He wants it all his way. You know, I'm saying it's not even reasonable. Hello, for example, let me share one thing. It's just ridiculous. I want you to rejoice always. That's a little much. I mean, you know, okay, things go well. Yes, of course I'll rejoice. You think I'm going to rejoice when things go poorly? When things go bad? When I get a bad report? When circumstances don't look good? When you haven't done your part? I did my part. You didn't come through. I feel like I did my part. How many know that we aren't the ones always at fault, are we? Okay, once in a while, yes. But some of the things that are going wrong have nothing to do with me or my sin. How many have thought what I'm saying, even though you didn't say it? You're thinking, at least, is like, I think God's unfair. Well, God, not only that, God not only runs the church, he wants to run the whole world. He believes that Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome and all these, they all belong to him. Even right now, he hadn't come back to take them, but he's going to come back in a few, I think in months, maybe years, he's going to come back and take over. And I fear him. I would like to complain and gripe and all the stuff I just said, but you know what? I fear him. This is just my personal thing. I really believe he is God. I really believe he's right. It doesn't matter what my thoughts say and my emotions say and my wants say. Really, I think he's right. I think we owe him worship. How many here would agree with me that we owe him worship? I mean, we owe it. And all the time, and especially when you're in a fire, in a bad situation, when you're in trouble, that's when he wants it. It's easy. Anybody can thank him. Of course, we never do. When he does good things, I forget about him. It's one thing I've noticed about myself. I always tell him, God, if you'll come through, I'll thank you. And then when it comes through, I just think it just happened. I forget that God did it. I even know he did it, but I was going to tell him, God, if you'll just do this, I promise, I swear, I will never forget it. I mean it now, too. And then he does it, and then I forget that it was God. And I just go and enjoy the thing, and I just totally forget to thank him. Remember, I was going to thank him and all that. I just forget. Anybody like me, ungrateful? And God has come today to Jim. Didn't I just set you free? Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't think I'm not grateful either. I believe I went to church last week to let you know that. What about this week? Well, I need to play golf this week. Now that you've healed my arm and I can play again. And so here's the deal. Babylon had an anti-Jewish policy. They were anti-Semitic. They hated the Jewish people. So Nebuchadnezzar came in, whomped on them. And the last king, I told you about this guy, Nabonidus. Nabonidus was a weird guy, and he wasn't following Marduk and the gods. And he went to Arabia for 10 years just kind of goofing around, just kind of like kings do, you know, the kind of Riviera of the day. And he just went off, and he left his son, Belshazzar, in charge. And you remember Daniel was during this Babylonian period. And so Daniel came in one night, and he saw them all drinking. They were all having a big festival. And they were getting drunk, and they were dancing, and just having a great time. It's kind of like a Hooters thing. They were having a lot of fun. And Daniel came in, and he noticed there was some writing on the wall, and the rest of everybody was so drunk and so whatever. They just looked at it and said, whoa, there's some writing on the wall. They couldn't read it even. And Daniel came in, and he was the only guy that wasn't plastered. And he read it. It says, I'll read it to you guys. Hey, quiet down. Let me read this to you. It says, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. I'll drink to that, they said. And so, you know, they just lifted up these Jewish cups. They said, you know, we haven't made much use of these cups, but here's a good thing. Fill them with wine and let's drink to the hilt. And they were mocking the Jewish God. And when Daniel read that, what happened was the Babylon was built on the Euphrates River. Euphrates, where all the fighting goes on right now, you know, all that, Baghdad and all that. The Euphrates River, and that river went right into the city, and there was no way to get into the city. The walls were 200 feet tall, and I mean, they were huge, just monstrous walls. You could have, I think, a dozen chariots go across it, something, you know, a lot, big. This Cyrus guy, this Persian, he had an idea. Hey, I'm going to dry up the river. I'll divert it, and then my soldiers can go in, and while they're having their festival and drinking and, you know, nobody's paying attention to what's going on because they think they're safe. They think God doesn't exist, and there's no way. The Persians just went right in the river. And Jeremiah had told them, 70 years and that's it. It's over. No more Babylon. And nobody paid attention to God. Nobody paid attention to him coming through on time and him really being involved in every aspect of your life. Nobody feared him. But Daniel feared him. And so Daniel said, you know, guys, this thing on the wall, this is it. You're over. You're finished. And that very hour, all those troops were coming in and the Persians conquered Babylon without shedding any blood. Because they were all plastered. You know, they couldn't even get their swords out. Sure, here. Get your sword. And, you know, the Persians just came in and took over. Come on, when you're drunk, you're out of it. America today is drunk with her own greatness and, you know, whatnot and so on. And, you know, and the churches today are drunk. Both the politicians and the religious leaders are way off of the fear of God. They're not afraid of God. Do you all understand that? They're not afraid of God. I haven't gotten a phone call lately from the mayor or the governor or even the president. They're not calling me. I just feel like, what's the point of having a phone? I mean, they're not checking in to say, Jim, what's the temperature? I mean, what's going on? Well, how do you see it? You know, because I understand the times. I'm understanding the times. You know, that's what you're supposed to do as a man of God. You're supposed to understand the times. You know, like, what time is it? You know, you're supposed to know what time it is. Well, it's judgment time. And if you listen to all the ministers, they're not telling you it's judgment time. They're telling you there's no judgment. No, don't suffer. God's good. Jesus Christ is in you. He's for you. You're in God, God's in you, everything's okay, hey, 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 you know, and it's great. And so I'll tell you, there are some big churches in town, and it's all flesh. They just minister to flesh, and people are into happiness, and churches provide it. Churches are providing for people's happiness. Isn't that amazing? Do you all understand what I'm saying? I mean, those churches, Baptists. A Baptist could organize any church, I don't care how fleshly it is, and make it look Christian. They are so well organized, you don't even have to know Jesus. There are Baptist people. I just want to pick on them for a minute. I just love this part of the ministry. There are people in the Baptist church today that are bitter at one another. And they're deacons. And they're bitter, you know. And the reason they're bitter is because their wife submitted her cake about 30 years ago, and the other lady that made not such a good cake at the church fair won. And that, I tell you what, they hate that. And they're Baptists. They're good Christians. But they don't forgive one another. I mean, that's just typical. That is typical. Isn't that pathetic? Thank God we don't have church banquets, and that's why. We don't have car washes. And you see why. There's no clique in this church because we're so disorganized. If we were Baptists, we would have splits. But we are so disorganized, you don't even know what to split from. We have no stained glass windows. We have no baptismal. We have no cross up front. No bowling alley in the basement. We don't have anything. So it's real hard here. The only people who would stay here would be people that had nowhere else to go. You see, because there's nothing here attractive. I don't know what's wrong with you people. So that's the way it is. We're building out of just debris, just the dregs, just the people that, you know, you can burn them over and over again and they ain't going anywhere. You know, this is a great group. Now, God had just, he said, you know, this Babylon group, I'm getting rid of them. And you would think then that the Jewish people, Judah, you would think then they would thank God. But instead, they didn't. They built their paneled houses. First thing they thought of when they got, you know, when they got free, and the Persian king, first thing he did, first year he did, he made a decree. You remember there was a decree that Daniel spoke about that said, if there's a decree, that's the beginning of the 70th 7, 490 week, you know, years, 490 years. That's going to start whenever the decree goes out, and right away, as soon as Babylon was over, this decree went out from Cyrus, first year, first, just right off the bat. And the Jewish people were being favored now. This group was anti-Jewish. This group was pro-Jewish. You would think then the people of God would build the house of God so they could worship God and thank Him. So this decree thing, the first thing they did, so what they did is they built the foundation. They went and laid a foundation. And they said, you know, let's build the house of God. But somebody told the Persian king, his advisors, it's just like George Bush, he's only as good as the people that advise him. I will say that again because you didn't get that. A king or a ruler or a leader is only as good as the advisors you have because you can't know everything. So you got to get advice. And somebody said to him, hey, you know, favoring those Jewish people is a bad idea. You better rescind that thing you just did. Call it off. So he told them, okay, whoa, what are you guys doing? Well, we just built the foundation. All right, stop right there. You laid the foundation, stop. And then he died. And his son, Cambyses, took over. So his boy, Cambyses, he said, I'm gonna follow my father's footsteps. Golly, now the Jewish people had all this hope of building the house of God, going to build the church, but now they're out of money. Because they wanted the state treasury to supply it. See, and Cyrus made a decree. The church will be built again. That was a great policy. But now the advisors told them, well, change that policy. So now the Jewish people are in trouble. It's like, oh my God, we're not going to have a church. Hey, tell you what, let's build our own houses. So even though we can't build a church, forget the church. Let's take care of our own houses. What a great idea. Did you see it right there? It occurred to them that, hey, all is not lost. At least we can take care of ourselves. Now that America's gotten rid of God, God is no longer, you know, kind of like number one in America. Walmart has kind of taken over. And we're into material stuff. When people come to this country because they heard it's a good Christian country, they just go to Walmart and forget about it. Man, you guys got stuff. We don't have this back home. And I'll tell you, people are just amazed. I don't care where they're from in the world, they're amazed at Walmart. Could we have one of these? And they want to transform their country with McDonald's and, you know, fast food stuff. And I mean, it just amazes them. Where's Jesus? I mean, God's hung up on his idea to have himself be great and men all remember him. But put me first. You betcha. You bet. You got it. You got it. I mean, everybody's into that. You know, you bet. Yeah, that's it. You got it, man. Okay, cool. But when it comes right down to it, a little snag in the thing here, instead of them coughing up out of their own pockets, they decided to use the little, whatever little they had. Hey, let's build our own houses. I mean, too bad for God. I mean, everybody forgot. Don't you fear God? God wanted that house built so you could thank him. Don't you want to thank him? Yeah, sure. Yeah, we're gonna thank him. How many know that God deserves worship? We all said it a few minutes ago. Yeah, God deserves the best. I mean, we're all agreeing. What more do you want? Action? At least we want it. We all want it. So God look, he sees the foundation, and God's up in heaven looking the thing over. He says, well, we got a good start, but that's about it. It's not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. Looks like there's not a lot of endurance here. How many America started out as a Christian country? We're Christian. Now all of a sudden we're pagan. Look at Europe. I mean, look at France. Voila, la France. You know, look at it. It's crazy. C'est la vie. You know, they're into, you know, joie de vivre. The joy of life, you know. They're into wines and, you know, into the French have always been a frivolous people. Total frivolity. This guy's a shallow. And now look what's happening. The Muslims have come in and they're a severe type people. And they're into, oh, I'm really, no burqa, no France. This is like, these people are not negotiable. You don't negotiate with these guys. Eh, joie la vivre. No, they're not into that. They're into c'est la guerre. Let's have a war. And so they're in blowing the place up and destroying it, and pretty soon Germany's next, and then, you know, every place, England, the whole bit, all of Europe just fallen to the, you know, they've Jesus, they've forgotten the Jews, gotten God's program. Now they're into Ishmael. They're into, it's not going to work, folks. I'm just telling you, you got, there's people just forgetting God, building their own houses. That's what they're into, panel houses. You know, America. You understand, to a European, an American is kind of like a stepchild. It's kind of like, yeah, you're in the family, but you don't really have any sophistication. The way the European looks at that, particularly the Texan, you know how they see a Texan? Driving a Cadillac with big bullhorns on the front. That's the way they look at it, is these people are so shallow. And it is JR kind of thing. It's the JR thing. When they look at that, they go, God, those people live, they're so, and they despise us. They don't like us. They don't like us. They despise us as juveniles, you know, immature, and they're for the chance to buy, take us over. And by the way, they did. You're not owned by yourself anymore. Did you? Everything you own, it's all, some European owns it. Now the Muslims own the Europeans that own you. You know, see the power of that. So you're losing in your own ground right here. You know why? It's not because the Muslims are bad or because the Europeans are sophisticated or something. It's because you forgot God. And you see, these storms coming on you, these troubles, this furnace that's come on you is because, not because God sent it. God didn't send it. He just pulls back because he's got no one to defend or protect. Nobody wants to build his house and have a house. So he just goes, well, I don't have a stake down there anymore. It's not my country. I'll just let it go to the devil. I'll let it go to the dogs. So Europe is first, and we're going to follow hard after them. You all understand? Because you're slaves. You're slaves first in your heart, then in your mind, and then in your body. You're slaves. Because you didn't think God was worth anything. You know, you said it, but it's just empty words. Now God is into, you know, he's not judging you. You're being judged by your own stupidity and foolishness. Amen? Of course, you know, when I'm saying you, I don't mean you personally. You're wonderful. I'm talking about the Methodists and the Presbyterians. You all understand that.
Yes.
Amen.
Of course.
I mean, God is dead earnest serious about this thing. And if you fear him, then you do what he says. Once you believe that God loves the Jewish people, I do. I believe God loves the Jewish people. And they're hard to love. I don't know how he can do it. He'd have to be God. But he loves those people. And he said, Jim, do you love me? Yes, sir, I do. I love you. He said, do you love what I love? Well, almost. I mean, I love the fact that you love me, but some of the people you love are pretty worthless. What do you think of my loving you? Yeah, smart on that one. That was good. But, you know, loving some of those other people, you know, I would clean them up first. What about you? Well, I need a little bit, but not a lot. Maybe just a little air in my tires and not a whole new vehicle. And God is going, Jim, if I love you, I want you to worship me and love what I love. And I love all people. Yeah, that's one of the problems you got. I mean, you're just letting anybody in. You're letting riffraff in. I'm telling you, you need a higher standard. Jim, if I had a higher standard, how would you get in? Well, come on, God, you know I'm a decent person. I know that. You know that. And God says, you know, Jim, I want you to love the Jewish people just like I do. Yeah, but they're going to go into the furnace. That's right. And they're going to go in involuntarily. How many can tell that today the Jewish people are being furnace-sized? They're being, you know, it's cooking up for them. They've lost, the only thing they've got left right now is us here in America. They've lost all their pals in Sweden, and Italy, Denmark, and, you know, England. They have lost all their friends. We're it. It's down to us, and most of this country's beginning not to favor them. If it weren't for the evangelical and charismatic crazy people, there wouldn't be much hope for them. And they hate it because they can feel the heat being turned up everywhere. They can feel it. And even Hollywood's feeling it. They're desperate. And here we are, we're getting in the furnace with them. And we're coming right into the furnace saying, hey, great to see you. You ever hear of Yeshua HaMashiach? Did I say that right? And they're just not excited about having us. It's like, okay, well, you're the only people that are sticking with us. You know, so, oh, my God. I ain't got votes. You know, it's just like, oh, my God. You know, do you have any Muslims to replace you? You know, it's like, we're in here. We're in. Let's just hug each other here. Praise the Lord! You know, and I don't know, they're just not into it, you see? But they have no one else right now that cares about them. So they're being strictured, they're being kind of, you know, squeezed down. And America is still got some Christian base to it, so we're telling the president and everything, you know, we love them. We love them, really love them. Yeah. They don't have any others. So, like, you know, when there's no other room, that's it. You want to dance? That's it. You know, you don't have anyone left. Yeah. It's either Steve or, you know, Eve, you know, whatever. So, I mean, it's getting sad. So here's God. He's taking care of his people, and he told them, you know, if you will serve me, I will see to it that the king of Persia gives you a decree that will allow you to worship me. And if that's your agenda, I'm making a way. Well, it really wasn't their agenda, you see. Because as soon as the Persian king changed his mind, the Jewish people acquiesced. It's kind of like, okay, fine, not going to build our temple. Let's just have our own houses. That's what they've been doing for the last couple thousand years, folks. You understand? Hey, let's just panel our own houses. If we're in Babylon, let's panel in Babylon. If we're in Egypt, let's panel in Egypt. If we're in China, let's panel in China. Let's panel, panel, panel. Let's just panel. And wherever they go, they're paneling. But forget the temple of God. Because that's what Jesus came to do. This was the building of the second temple. There it is. That's it. There it's sitting. Well, Haggai, the prophet, comes along and he says, what's going on? And God says, look, tell him these words. Speak to the priest, speak to the governor. And tell him, the people are paneling their own houses and they've forgotten God. Let's get back to worship. Put God first. Seek first the kingdom and I'll take care of I'll give you everything else. You see, with God, everything's a gift. Nothing is earned. God wants to build a house that says, everything is given to me. I didn't build anything. I didn't do anything. I didn't work for anything. Everything in my life. Peggy is a gift of God. And the amazing thing is, I'm a gift of God to Peggy. I'm a gift of God. Do y'all see that? Leslie sees the humor of that. That's a humorous statement. How many know being married to me would be hell? It is. It would be hell. Amen. Don't pay any attention. Don't pay any attention to that voice. That voice knows nothing. That is first-hand experience, but don't pay attention to it. Going strictly by sight. No, we walk by faith. I'm totally into faith. But see, God wants us to do it His way. He doesn't want the Frank Sinatra, you know, do it my way kind of thing. He wants you to do it His way. He's totally stubborn on that. So he says, I want a house, I want a house, I want a house. I told you I'd punish you for turning away from me, but after Babylon, okay, God, please restore us. We'll promise to worship you and so on. And then he did, and what happened? The Jewish people paneled their houses. Immediately they started paneling their own homes. Man, I don't know whether there's something in us that wants to panel rather than build God's house. So here's what God said. You want to hear the words of God? These are powerful words that God said to these people. And I'm trying to apply this so you can see it in your own life. Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He's talking to the paneling group. His house is laid waste, desolate. The church of God is nowhere. And here's what he says. You have sown much, and you have brought in little. Don't you see that? You're working hard, and you're getting nothing for it. This is God. You eat, but you're never full. You drink, but you're never satisfied. You put on clothes, but you're still not warm. He that earneth wages, earns wages only to put it in a bag with holes. Don't you see it? Don't you see it? That's an IRS hole. That is an insurance hole. You know, whatever. Everything you bring in, it seems like there's always something that needs to go out. You know, the hospital bills are tall and, you know, everything seems to cost. Doesn't seem like there's any freebies out there. Have you noticed that? You're earning a lot, but you're not doing it. Nothing's coming home. You put it all in your pocket, and then there's a hole in your pocket, and it's all spilling out. It's kind of like, where's the money? You know, there are people today that are worried about finances. I mean, they're worried. You know what I'm saying? I mean, none of us, but I mean, there are people out there. They worry about where's the next buck coming. Here's what God says is, stop doing that. Stop worrying. The issue is, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else. But no, you are seeking, you're working in order to get something. Don't you realize I just give you? I just told you to work because I want you to work. I didn't say work, so I'll give you something. He just said work. And then, don't worry about it. I love you. I'll take care of you. But I want you to work. You don't work to get something. You just work because God told you to work. You hear? And a lot of people are anxious. They go to work thinking, God, I hope I get something for this. I got to cover the bills this month. I got to cover the bills. It doesn't take a lot of brains when you don't have enough money to pay the bills to figure out which bills to pay. Let's see, which bill should I pay? You know, it's real easy because you only got so much, and God is going to be the guy that's going to get it. Now, I know some people think, let's pay God first, and then maybe it'll come in. And, you know, and you're just kicked out of your house next week. you've seen that kind of theology. Wouldn't it be a good time that let's give a tithe to God and see if we get back 100-fold? And then you're just out in the street. Then you're begging from the church that you just gave 100-fold to, and they have to give it back so you can pay your rent. I mean, no, that is stupid. Hello? Don't come to us. Here, we aren't going to do that. You're broke. It's your problem. Yeah, we'll help you one time. That's all. You better rethink your life. You got to rethink your life. Hey, something's wrong if you're not being blessed. You know what it is? You forgot God. You can't just kind of like at the last minute, okay, I'm going to put some money into the church, see if I get some, you know, kind of like the slot machines at Reno or something. Hey, let's just throw something in and see if God comes through. You got any more? Let's put it in. Something happened there. I thought it was going to all pour out. You ever go to Reno? No? Las Vegas? Well, that's Reno to Vegas, right? That is, wherever it is. I don't know what it is. But they have those slot machines everywhere. They're in the bathrooms. They're everywhere. They're just everywhere. You know, wherever you go. That's awful. No, anyway. So, we're into gambling, thinking we can pay God off or trying to get God at the last minute, I'm going to pay God off. God doesn't work that way. God wants you to turn to Him with all your heart, not just throw some money up there so you're kind of gambling. Okay, look, I've only got this much. No, don't play with God. He wants you all your heart. He's into it. So God is saying, if you will seek me, I will hold the enemy off. There won't be storms. Listen to me carefully. There won't be storms and problems and troubles and the economy and health and all this. Just trust me. But no, we don't. We go, okay, after you prove it, then maybe I'll trust you. He goes, no, I want you to trust me first. Are you hearing me? He says, haven't I done enough to prove to you already that I love you, that I care for you? Look, I just ended Babylon. I said it'd be 70 years, and now it's over, now it's 70 years, and they built it. They built that foundation in the 70th year. They built it. Now, what happened was after this, Haggai comes along after Cambyses. That's the son, Cambyses, but he followed his dad's pattern and didn't let the Jews build. But the next guy, Darius, who was from another part of the family, he wasn't a son, wasn't related to them directly. He was indirectly related. Darius is the one that Haggai is speaking to. So here's Haggai the prophet, Haggai, and he's the one talking to about the second year of Darius in the sixth month on the first day. So he's saying, now, if you people will do what I say, so listen, let's see what happens. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, verse 7. Go to the mountain, bring the wood, build the house. Now he's talking about God's house, going to Lebanon, getting the cedars of Lebanon, these big, beautiful wooden things, and build God's house. In other words, put God's first house first, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Look it. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. When you brought it home, I blew on it. This is what God is saying. If you work hard and you think you're going to beat God out, you're going to trick God, you're going to just live your own life independent of Him. He said, the minute you bring it home, whatever it is you thought you earned, I'll blow on it. If you thought maybe the devil's doing it, I'll just tell you right now, that wasn't the devil. That was God. God went, well, I got something here. What happened? You know, it's like, I just had it a second ago. God blew on it, and He withered everything you planned, everything you purposed, everything you thought you were going to do, because you thought you could get away with it, is I'll skip God, and I'll get to Him later. I'll take care of God later. And God just blew on it. I'm telling you, this is God. Now, I know a lot of people don't like this theology. It's Old Testament theology. I like it, and I believe it's New Testament. I believe this is God, but here's the difference. In the Old Testament, they didn't understand, so they thought they were being judged. No, no, no. You're not being judged. Listen carefully. You're not being judged by God. You're being chastened by a loving Father who says, don't you dare play a trick with me and mock me. Don't play games with me. I can tell your heart is not in this. I can tell you're just doing this to, you know, kind of pay me off, get rid of me. No, no, no. I want with all your heart. Oh, man, it's God. We just don't have those kind of hearts. Well, then, you know, don't mock me by building the house. Go build your own panel houses and take the punishment. Well, no, 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 no. Wait a minute now. Well, what is it you want? No, 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 I don't negotiate. Oh, God, come on, bend a little. We don't have hearts like that. We don't have hearts like that. We don't have souls like that. We don't have lives like that. I mean, no, we're a cold people. You better come to God and tell him the truth. God, here's the truth. All right, we don't like you that much. You probably figured that out. Did you? You figured that out? Okay. All right. We're really into panel houses. And even though we're paneling your house right now, we're thinking of our own. I'm thinking of taking this board right here, actually. As soon as this job is over, I'm taking this board home with me. You know what I'm talking about? A lot of you are thinking wrong. You're thinking you can fool God. But God, as soon as you bring it home, he blows it away. Oh, what happened to that board? They got to blow it away. God is just not into mocking him. He wants his deal. So here's what happens. This is really cool. He wants his way. He wants his way. Why, God says, when you bring it home, do I blow on it? Because of my house that's wasted. And you run every man to his own house. You're only caring about your own stuff. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew. In other words, you're not going to get the blessings. And the earth is stayed from her fruit. I don't have to judge you. I just withhold the dew. I just keep the fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, upon that which the ground brings forth, upon men, upon cattle, upon all the labor of your hands. I'm calling for a drought. Then Zerubbabel, which means kind of like a seed or a shoot out of Babel. Zera has to do with seed, and Babel has to do with Babylon. So this seed out of Babylon, the son of Shealtiel and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. The only reason they obeyed is because God told them, look, I'm going to withdraw my presence. If you're not going to seek me voluntarily, I don't want you to do it legalistically. If you don't, I'm going to say this again. If you don't seek me voluntarily, because you really want to, because you trust me, because you fear me, because you love me, if you don't do it, I'll just withdraw. I'll just withdraw. I want to bless you, but I don't want you to play games with me. I don't want you to be phony. If you're not really with this, I'm not going to protect you anymore. I won't give the blessing to you. The enemy will just come in, and you'll have to taste your own doing. Are you all following this? This is rough talk. This is rough talk. You might think this is not love. This is love. This is saying, stop lying. Don't come to me phony and fake and pretending all these big churches and stuff. God hates those. If God were here, he would be in this church. He likes it here because it's hot, fire. He likes fire. And what he wants is when you're in the fire, and this proves that you really got your heart with God, is you rejoice. Whenever you're in trouble, see, the other churches, they rejoice when things go well. They got nice cars, and there's carpet on the church, and all everything going well. Yeah, they always praise the Lord. But they won't praise it if they're sick. They won't thank God if they're sick. You see that? What if they had sick people? Then they would say, oh, we need to find out how to get rid of sickness. Are you hearing me? Let's get a theology that'll get people wealth. Let's get the American dream back. Let's prosper. Then we'll have something to thank God for. No, God wants you to be abased and abounding and praise him just the same. Did you hear what I just said? Now, they're right. God is a good God. God does want you not sick. God doesn't want you sick. God doesn't use sickness. And they're right. God doesn't want you poor. How could you give him the tithe? So he doesn't want you poor. He wouldn't have any money to live on. You know, his allowance would be low. No, no, he doesn't want that. But he doesn't. That is not your goal in life, is to be flesh happy. See? So that's a good start. Is God's a good God? He's a loving God. He didn't send any judgments on you to destroy you. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be healthy and wealthy and wise and all that. That's true. They're not telling an untruth, but it's not the truth. Because here's the truth. But you will never mature until you go through the furnace. You will never mature until you voluntarily say, God, no matter what it costs, I'm going to love my brother. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to get in line with your program and your plan for Israel. I'm going to get in line with your harvest for this world. I'm not going to just take care of my own panel house. Now, to get into the kingdom, it's all right that you know that God is for you and he's not against you and he's in you and through you and all this kind of stuff. But what he really wants is you to grow up to be like his son, Jesus. He isn't just talking about health and wealth. He's talking about maturity, becoming like Jesus, going into the furnace and rejoicing in that furnace. Because that's where love would go, where someone's burning and hurt and downtrodden and treated poorly. He wants you to be right there and be loving him and hugging him and identifying with him. That's his message. You all understand? So that's different than just me, mine, and my own house and my little family and be bless me, and I'm going to go to church that blesses me. Those are the big churches. Little church like this, no. Here, we get you into the furnace and make you rejoice. Yahoo! All right, everybody, you're in trouble and so on and so on. Just let's praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, and it is your heart's not in it. It is your heart's not in it. And God can tell you're praising the Lord, but you don't mean it. You're not really excited about trouble. You're doing everything you can to avoid it. But in this church, we do everything we can to get you even worse. You see? It just to narrow it down so tight that you can't breathe till you're dead. You don't see the joy of that. I'll tell you what, the worst problem you have is not the world out there, it's you. It's your forgetting God. Look, God wants you to rejoice all the time, even when it's a furnace, even when it's bad, because the more mature you are, the more fires you're going to look for. See, if you're mature, you're going to look for children that are hurting, that need diapers changed, that obnoxious people, that people that you don't like and you can't get along with, people that are in trouble all the time, and they're going to hurt you. They're not going to thank you. That would show you're mature. That's when to rejoice. When things go poorly. When there's not any grain in the bin. And there's no fig on the tree. And there's no cow in the stall. And there's nothing to say God loves me. A happy person couldn't rejoice. Skip happiness. Throw happiness out the window. Happiness is a byproduct. It's not a goal. Seek truth. You'll be happy. Seek happiness, you'll lose both. Seek truth. The truth will set you free. You get happiness. You see, Jesus is the truth that you're seeking. He's the temple that we're building. God was in Christ, and Christ is in you. God was in Christ, and Christ is in you. You see, God was in that first temple that Solomon built that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. God was in that one, but he wasn't in Christ. That is, they didn't know that. So the Jewish people didn't have a true picture of God in Solomon's temple. So when they built this temple, people said, after they got this thing built, they built this thing up, built nice temple, and people looked at it and said, oh my God, that temple stinks. You should have seen the first temple we had. Geez, remember those days? And there were people still alive 80 years later that remembered the first temple, Solomon's temple. I mean, it was beautiful, it was glorious. And then they came to this dumpy little place. Did you get the connection there? They came to this dump, and they went, this is God's house? Man, there's hardly any glory to this. I mean, I hate to criticize, but this is poverty. This is poor. This is looking shabby. I don't think God would live in such a crummy little hovel. I think we need a better place to honor God. And they were ashamed of the house of God. I'm not putting my money in this. I like to put it in a nice building where you have your name written on the brick. I like the stained glass window. I like something that looks religious. How many know that's a big pride of these churches? When they build these big churches, a brick outside with their name on it or whatever, Mr. and Mrs. Smith contributed, you know, $1,000 or something to it. You know, people are proud. You understand? It's not for Jesus, it's for all the people. Their name's written all over those things. Whoa! That's not what God wants. God doesn't want you to know what the left hand is doing. He doesn't want you to count it up. Hey, you owe me. Ever do that? Ever do that? Peg, look, three times we've gone to where you want. It's my turn. You know, do you do that stuff? It's juvenile. But we do that. We still do that. Well, you got your way the last time. Do y'all do that? Isn't nobody like we are? We're like little juvenile kids. You got your time, my time now. Anyway, God doesn't want that. God wants us to do things where no one notices. You know, we don't brag on everything you do and all the miracles we have. We have a little thermometer up in front, you know. We're now up to 7,000 miracles, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, people are always bragging on everything they do as a church. Pastors are big into that. Amen? I mean, it's big what they want to do is, you know, realize what we're doing for God. You know, it's like, you're not God. You're not talking about God. You're talking about yourself. Hello? Anyway, God wants a real people. I mean, I don't get one. It seems like nobody's heart's in it. Seems like nobody's heart's in it. Seems like people are into paneling. They're not into God. But here's God. Here's God. Here's God. Here's God. This is the funny thing. I'm going to make those people holy. I'm going to have a people. And God just won't. Come on, God, get over it. That was in the old days you had that. Think of the former glory. Remember the days of Jesus. But it's not like that anymore. People are sophisticated these days. We're more American. This gospel works in Palestine. It doesn't work here in America. We're into cars and boats and television set. Hey, did you see this? Look at it. You know, and Jesus never saw any of that stuff. He said, wow. Jesus would be amazed at, you know, high-definition television. He would be amazed. Look at this. Hey, look at this right here. You know, and it'd be some sports channel or something. Gee, look at that. Look at that, Jesus. Look at that. And Jesus is not into it. He's into his old idea of the Jewish people and the church, you know, worshiping him and loving one another. He's not into all this other stuff of fellowship groups that we have to love one another and all that. Do you understand what I'm saying? All the stuff the churches are doing today. I'm a prophet. I'm sorry. I'm not a pastor. I'm a prophet. All the stuff the churches are doing today is rubbish. I don't care what it looks like to you. It's wrong. It's not growing anybody up. Having wealth and health doesn't make anybody convicted to believe in Jesus. Having organization like the Baptists do, addict anybody. I mean, I'm impressed when you go and see it. It is impressive. You come here, you're not impressed. This is not impressive. Is this impressive? I mean, come on. Anybody impressed? Look at this row here. Are you impressed? You know, there's nothing impressive. This is the kind of thing that you would retire early on. It was like, what have I accomplished? You know, and you know, it's just not that neat. We should have gotten out of this place, shouldn't we? Have built something or done something, gone into debt or something. But God has got another program, totally a different program, and this is what you're part of. Now watch what happens. Now I'll close. This is what happens. This is powerful. Then Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest and the remnant obeyed the voice of God and the word of Haggai the prophet and the Lord their God, and the people did fear before the Lord. In other words, they did what God said. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message to the people, saying, I'm with you. The minute you decide to go with God because you believe in him, then God says, I'm with you. And when he's with you, no enemy can get close to you. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord their God. Now, it took 6 years to build this, 4 years to build this house. So this is a four-year house. So from the time they started to the time they finished was 4 years under Darius. Second year. So in his sixth year, that's when they did it, Darius 6. And the 6 year is finished. Now that finishing would build the second temple of Israel. The second temple was later taken over by Herod the Great. You've all heard of Herod, the bad guy. Herod He saw the church was a shabby church. He saw that. And he said to himself, you know what? The Jews hate my guts. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to build them a magnificent church. I'm going to use the government money, and I'm going to work with the church and give the church my help. And the government, under Herod, helped the church, and Herod was one of the greatest builders in the world. And he built the temple that Jesus saw. Herod, you remember Herod died when Jesus was born. Herod the Great. Remember he tried to kill Jesus when he heard he was coming? He tried to kill the little kid. Why are you building a temple if you don't want the Son of God to come and get in your little house? He didn't want him. You see, the world doesn't want Jesus. There's no room for the guy. And the church didn't even want him. And the Jewish people killed him later. I mean, everybody's against this little guy. And Jesus said, you know, I want you to worship me. What? I want you to worship me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'm going to give you rest. I'll tell you what, all you need is Jesus. 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 He's your all in all. He's everything. Everything you're ever looking for. Everything in your life. Everything you've ever wanted is Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That message will not sell. That message is not going to sell. That is never going to be a popular item. But you know what? It's the truth. And I'm buying. I'm totally into that. I am totally into Jesus. Man, I don't even have a life. I love Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus. I just love him. I don't care about my job and my wife and my family and my church, and I don't care about any of that. I just care about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And Jesus then provides everything. He gives me a wife and a family and a church and everything else. You get everything with Jesus. I totally believe that. I totally believe I won't perish. Somebody wondering if my stock's going to go down. If it was up to me, it would, but it's not up to me. I totally fear God and I believe God. The best is yet to come. I believe the best has been saved to the last. I believe you're about to see, don't worry about Muslims and storms and Katrinas and economy and, you know, corruption in government and all that kind of stuff. Don't worry about that. Don't even worry about the church being phony and fake and panel houses. Don't worry about all that. Just seek first the kingdom. And it said, and the people heard the word, and they repented on the spot. And they immediately put to the work and said, I'm going to put God first in my life. From now on, God is going to be first in my life. That's amazing. And the people that despised this house and said, there's no glory in it. What you don't understand is, God was in Christ, and Christ is in you. You're the temple. You're the house. It's not a building. God's not into buildings. God doesn't care about money and buildings and logs. What God's into is you. You're the house he's building. You're the one he's blessing. Turn to the Lord with all your heart. Now, is there anyone here who's ready today to say, I'm ready to build. I'm repenting of my panel house stuff. I just want to build the house of God. The only thing I care about is what God cares about. I want the Jewish people restored. I want to see the church, you know, purified. I don't care about all that stuff out there. I just want God. I want to know him and love him and worship him. I want to love the brethren, the ugly ones, the nasty ones, the obnoxious ones, the ones that are difficult. I want to get in the furnace and rejoice. I want to get inside that fire, and I'm going to just praise God. I don't care if I'm abounding or abasing. I'm going to do it with all my heart and all my soul, and no one can distract me. Who's ready? Praise God. It's powerful. That's powerful. You know what God just said? He said, and I will be with you. I will see to it that that furnace never burns you. Here's the secret. Now quit. Here's the secret. Fire doesn't burn spirit. It only burns flesh. Water doesn't drown spirit. It only drowns flesh. Fire and water and storm and affliction and trouble and difficulty, it doesn't hurt you. It only hurts your flesh, which you're against. That's all God wants in the church is people that are led by the Spirit of God. He doesn't want your flesh. He doesn't want your flesh. That's the panel house stuff. Forget that. God will take care of you. He will give you more than you could even get. He'll give you more. Who do you think is giving you everything? It isn't your brains and your brawn and your beauty and your whatever you got. It isn't any of that. It's God just giving you that. He's not mad at anybody. He's not trying to hurt anybody. He doesn't hate the Babylonians. He doesn't hate the Persians. He doesn't hate the Jews. He doesn't hate anybody. He's out to bless, but he wants you to get with his program. Put him first. And when you do, he will move back the enemy. There will be no enemy to touch you. And any trouble that you go through is for your good. All things work together for the good. Yes, if you join the Jewish people today, you're gonna be in trouble. So what? Rejoice in that. Don't avoid it. I'm not criticizing the other churches. I'm just telling you, they're not telling the whole truth. Part of it's true, but it's not the whole truth. You can't mature unless you're ready to be broken, till there's no flesh left. Now, isn't that a powerful, exciting, wonderful message? Is away with all flesh. All right, let's have a testimony. Let's have a testimony. You got a job? Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. See, that's exciting. When you get a job, you rejoice. When you don't have a job, you rejoice. Here's the deal is, we don't rejoice because she got a job. Of course we do. But we rejoice no matter what because our God is good. And even when you don't got a job, you got a job because you got a God.
No matter what.
See, God will take care of us. Who else? Who else? Who else wants to testify? It's a great time to testify. Amen. Praise God. It's powerful. Stop looking for happiness. Don't look for happiness. Stop it. Stop it. Stop paneling your house. Seek first to build the house of God. Build the house of God. You see, when you do that, God then will protect you from all the wiles, the tricks of the enemy, and everything will go your way. It's not too late. It's never too late. Today is still the day of salvation. Don't worry about what's happened to your life. Your body's pretty much shot. Your bank account is empty. Don't worry about that. Stop it. Stop it. Look to God only. You don't know what's going to happen. Pretty soon it's Babylon. Next day it's Persia. The next day it's Greece. You don't know what God can do. He can turn things around that quick. Who else? I want another testimony. A loud, noisy, powerful one. Who's got one like that? All right, a soft one, a gentle one.
Judy met them and made friends, and they've been close to us. They live in Arizona, and we visited them, and they've come and visited us. And yesterday, we received a card from them.
They're Jewish.
Oh. The Bonfels are a Jewish couple.
Right. Yeah, right.
And they do not believe all this, as David says, all the stuff to get into.
Right.
And so we got this card, and it was a card with a little insert about Jesus and the love of Jesus and stuff like that. And immediately I felt, hey, they've given their life to the Lord. But so I asked Judy, you call her because she talks to Marion, the woman, and they can blab all day. Call her and find out what. So Judy called yesterday.
He doesn't mean blab. He just means, he just tell what happened, Judy.
Prayer from Sacred Heart, and she said, you know, I called the Catholic Church, and she said they didn't know anything about it. You know, they couldn't tell me anything. They didn't know where it was. Anything like that. Anyway, so we talked for a little while about the form, and I asked her, I said, Mary, and I said, does this mean that he's converted? And she said, well, not exactly. You know.
Yeah.
But that she they hugged you.
Right.
Someone had sent her a card like this.
Right.
She said it made me feel so loved.
Powerful. It's a great testimony to the fact that God is softening those hard hearts. But where's your heart? You got to have a heart like that so that you can do that same kind of thing. You'll see it. It's ready to happen. But somebody's got to labor. Somebody's got to be out in that harvest to bring it in. And it's not only that. It's Muslims. It's Hindus, Buddhists, witchcraft people. I mean, the whole world is ripe. It's just nobody. They just have these flesh messages. We need a spiritual message that says, no, let's go the hard way. Because that's where the world is. It's in trouble. It's in difficulty. Then that's where you give them the good news. Don't give them the good news outside the fire. Give it to them in the fire. It makes sense all of a sudden. When you're right there with them, identifying with them, God is not going to be found up in heaven. He's on the earth, and he's in you. He's not on the earth in Jerusalem. You got to go to Jerusalem to find Jesus. No, no. Jesus is in you. You're Jesus. You're the temple. You're where God's going to be met. Not in heaven. Not in Jerusalem. Not even in Jesus now. But in heaven, in Jerusalem, in Jesus, in you. You're it. You're the kingdom of God. Isn't that something? I mean, that is good news. I don't know if you see it. Somebody would say, gosh, these people don't look like the glory of the former. Remember how beautiful the early Christians were. Look at these people here today. No, no, no. They're the most beautiful Christians. Don't worry about it. Here's what the prophet said. God said, this temple will be more glorious than Solomon's temple. And it was just a hole in the wall. He said, no, no, this is more glorious. Why? Because this is the temple that Jesus is going to see. Even though they gaudied it up and covered it over, and then God destroyed it because he wouldn't even go to church there. You're the temple. You're what it's all about. Don't you see it? This is too glorious. Please get on the God program. Fear him. Fear him. Stop living your own kind of life. Stop just taking care of yourself. It's not going to work. He's going to blow on it. As soon as you bring it home, he'll blow on it. You're going to lose all your property. I don't care what insurance programs you have. You're going to lose everything. This nation is bankrupt. We are an enslaved nation. There's nothing in the Fort Knox. You are bankrupt people. You are owned by somebody else. There is no country left. There's nothing here. Whatever you relied upon, mother, apple pie, all, it's gone. There's no pie. There's no pie. It's just Jell-O. All you have is Jell-O. There's nothing. So, you know, do what God says, and then you will be amazed what God will do. Praise God. All right, one last. Let's keep this thing going. One last. Somebody. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Attacked by this government. Our government is completely out.
Yeah. Right.
What they're doing against this guy.
Right.
But he's very interested to see somebody who's a so-called Christian,
right,
establishment looking person who really identifies with what he's doing with the truth.
What, sure,
how he's having to fight the system. Boy, oh boy, are they not interested in the truth.
Amen.
On their behalf.
And it's, amen.
It's it. God opened the opportunity with who is this Jesus and what is this stuff about forgiveness of sin that Jesus does for us. Well,
right,
it's an opportunity I'm looking for, as you're saying, and you're faithful to go into fire with
him. Amen. It's good. Best day. You couldn't have a better day. This is, God has saved the very best to the last. This is it. This is it. I'm just, you can hear my excitement. I'm just telling you, I'm just trying to get it across to you, but if you don't get it, I got it. I mean, if I don't preach to anybody else, I'm preaching to me. I like my preaching. Jim, that's very good. Thank you. You know, it's exciting to me is I believe in God. I fear him, and I know he's going to win. I know anybody else, it's not going to work. Please. I've told you. I want you to know because I'm going to get spanked if I don't tell you. I told you. I told you. Now you know. This is exciting. This is good news. The best is yet to come. You are the one. Don't look to anybody else. You are the one. You need to say, no more paneling. I'm going to start rejoicing in the furnace. No more paneling. I'm going to build the house of God. I'm going to worship God with all my heart. I'm going to give thanks to God at all times and in all places. I'm going to make my sacrifice of praise unto God all the days of my life. Whether I abound or whether I'm abased, I'm not going to turn away. Can you do it? Of course not. But God will do it once you start, once you take the first few, then God will be right there to bless you. Because he said, I'll be with you. I'll be with anybody that'll turn to me and have fear of me. I love that person. I'll be with them and I'll protect them. And no harm, no harm, no harm, no harm will ever come to that person. You see, your troubles are due to your own decisions and your own lack of fear of God. That's all I'm trying to say. They're just due to you. Repent of that. Change your mind. Get back with God. He's on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we love you. We love you, 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 we love you. There isn't anybody else. You're it. And we fear you. We know that you've told us the truth. Whatever you said, that's the way it's going to be. And I thank you, Lord God, that the best is yet to come. We're not looking forward to a bad time or something. We're looking forward to great times, but not material stuff. That's secondary. We can get that too. The main thing is spiritual first. And so we're seeking first the kingdom of God. And we're not afraid, because if we just go after money and health and all that, we'll miss the furnace. We don't want to miss the furnace. That's where the joy comes forth in the most convincing way to this world. And that's what love is all about. Lord God, I thank you. This is time to forgive. This is time to rejoice. This is time to follow hard after God, to put our hand in your hand and walk forward no matter what you take us through. We're not afraid, because the best is still in the future. We're seeing some of it today, but there's a lot more. And so I give you praise, Lord God. You will have your way. The Babylonians will fall, and the Persians will rise, and then the Greeks, and then the Romans. And after that comes the kingdom of God, which is going to last forever and ever, and no man can stop it. This is the very bride of Christ. So we give you the praise and the glory and the honor, and everyone said. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you that peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And amen. I love you all.